This is All Things Considered. From NPR News, I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Against the backdrop of the prisoner abuse scandal and declining support for his handling of the war, President Bush this evening reaffirmed his Iraq policy. As he did so, the president acknowledged that the situation in Iraq will likely become more dangerous before it becomes more secure. Mr. Bush addressed the Army War College in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. As he has consistently done, he described the war in Iraq as part of a larger struggle against terror. He took stock of recent violence in Iraq, including the decapitation of the American businessman Nicholas Berg. Berg's killer, he said, was likely Abu Musab Zarqawi, a man with ties to Osama bin Laden.
He and other terrorists know that Iraq is now the central front in the war on terror, and we must understand that as well. The return of tyranny to Iraq would be an unprecedented terrorist victory and a cause for killers to rejoice.
Terrorists and loyalists of the former regime, he said, are testing the patience of the United States and are likely to commit still more brutal acts in the coming weeks. But the president vowed to persist in a step-by-step program leading to democratic self-rule for Iraq.
There are 5 steps in our plan to help Iraq achieve democracy and freedom. We will hand over authority to a sovereign Iraqi government, help establish security, continue rebuilding Iraq's infrastructure, encourage more international support, and move toward a national election that will bring forward new leaders empowered by the Iraqi people. The first of these steps will occur next month when our coalition will transfer full sovereignty to a government of Iraqi citizens who will prepare the way for national elections.
Mr. Bush pointed to progress by UN envoy Lakhdar Brahimi in assembling that interim government. He pointed also to the decisions of U.S. commanders in Fallujah, as well as in the southern Shiite holy cities, to avoid the massive use of force that might subdue insurrections but alienate the local populace. He acknowledged early failures by the newly trained Iraqi forces, and he said that demonstrates the need for Iraqis to serve in an Iraqi chain of command. While Mr. Bush addressed the prisoner abuse scandal and spoke, he spoke of the prison in which so many of those abuses were committed.
A new Iraq will also need a humane, well-supervised prison system. Under the dictator, prisons like Abu Ghraib were symbols of death and torture. That same prison became a symbol of disgraceful conduct by a few American troops who dishonored our country and disregarded our values. America will fund the construction of a modern maximum security prison. When that prison is completed, detainees at Abu Ghraib will be relocated. Then, with the approval of the Iraqi government, we will demolish the Abu Ghraib prison as a fitting symbol of Iraq's new beginning.
President Bush said that he sent American troops to Iraq to guarantee American security, not to make Americans out of Iraqis. If more troops are needed there, he said he'll send them. And the president concluded by contrasting the United States mission with its commitment to elections and self-rule and America's enemies. They, he said, would impose Taliban-like regimes on the entire Middle East, leaving women brutalized and voiceless.
None of this is the expression of a religion. It is a totalitarian political ideology pursued with consuming zeal and without conscience. Our actions, too, are guided by a vision. We believe that freedom can advance and change lives in the greater Middle East, as it has advanced and changed lives in Asia and Latin America and Eastern Europe and Africa.
President Bush expressing confidence in Iraq's democratic future in his speech to the Army War College this evening in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Our White House correspondent, Don Gagne, is in Carlisle. Don, was this a speech notable for new content or more for the presentation?
I think the presentation was the key here. He was speaking to an audience across the U.S., but also in Iraq and across the Middle East. And it was a speech, while it really broke no new ground at all in terms of policy, it was an attempt to take all of the themes, all of the broad themes that the president has spoken about over the last month and even the last year, and put them all together, put them in a very broad context, a reminder to people why the U.S. Went into Iraq in the first place, and an effort to really make it clear that there is a plan to go forward.
Part of the subtext of this speech, it seemed, was, I, President Bush, am quite in control of the facts of the situation in Iraq.
That struck me. It was both a speech that dealt with broad themes, as we just heard in the tape you played, but also a speech that dealt in minutiae, as if to demonstrate that these very small details have been thought of. And we heard a lot of numbers from the president. We heard 138,000 U.S. troops, and that number will continue in Iraq. We heard about 260,000 Iraqis being trained to be police and army and security. We heard about the number of vice presidents the new Iraq will have, and prime ministers, and how there'll be 26 ministries. And I could go on and on. It was full of those kinds of little details. And again, I think a very intentional effort to say, look, there is a plan, and it is a very specific plan, and here are some very specific examples of it, right down to the numbers.
The numbers of Iraqi battalions and the total number of troops in those battalions. Now, we should point out, as he explained, the plan here is for the interim government to organize elections for a constituent assembly, to proceed to write a constitution, and then to have real legislative elections, parliamentary elections, by the end of 2005.
And the first step in that is that firm deadline, that June 30th handover. And the president really drove that home, that is a milestone. That is an important line to cross. The Paul Bremer's organization will cease to exist at that point.
Yeah.
And there will be an ambassador there. And the president said the ambassador, the U.S. ambassador, will have normal relations with Iraq, just like any other ambassador around the world.
Although it will be, I believe, the largest U.S. embassy anywhere, and we'll have branch offices throughout Iraq, you said.
Yes, and 138,000 U.S. troops there indefinitely still.
But the president still insisted that the transfer at the end of June will amount to a transfer of full sovereignty to the Iraqis.
Exactly. He says the Iraqis will have power to make decisions. It will be their country. The U.S. will be there to provide security.
NPR's Don Gagne in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Thanks a lot, Don.
My pleasure.